This week's parsha is Parshas Vayishlach, and we'll start in the beginning of the parsha, which is chapter 32, verse number 4. The verse starts, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim, Lefonov, Yaakov sent messengers or angels in front of him, El Esav Achiv, to Esav, his brother. And the first question we are going to ask is, why does he have to write down that Esav is his brother? Automatically we know that Esav is his brother. He could have just written down that he sent angels in front of him, El Esav, to Esav. Why you have to write down that Achiv, that he was his brother? But let's continue with the verse. The verse continues, Arzo Seir, to the land of Seirs, they Edom, the field of Edom. As a side note, Meforshim explained on this pasuk that the fact that Yaakov Avinu is sending people to the land of Seir, to the fields of Edom, and he's sending them to Esav, that is the reason why he sent specifically angels. Meaning that Yaakov was afraid that if he sends people as messengers to Esav, those people will be corrupted, because Esav is a very corrupting force, and then the land of Seir is even more corrupt, and the fields of Edom is even more corrupt, and the corruption could cause those people to sin, and therefore Yaakov felt that if he sent angels, those angels will be able to be successful and not be corrupted by the force of Esav and by the force of his place. And Meforshim bring the idea that the place could corrupt a person from the idea of, first, that Avraham Avinu, when he gets near Mitzrayim, he feels that Mitzrayim is embedded in morality, and therefore he says to his wife, I start having feeling that you are beautiful, therefore I have to worry. Meaning that when Avraham Avinu started having the feelings that she is beautiful, he realized that must be because he's getting close to a place that's very immoral, and therefore he starts to worry that that immorality will cause his death, and therefore he tells Sarah Imenu in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha to tell the Egyptians that she is his sister, so they won't kill him. And also Meforshim bring that we see that even the angels, when they went to Sdom, they became corrupted. Because the Daza Kerim Baal Toisves on Parshas Vayetzer, chapter 25, verse number 12, where there it says that Yaakov has a dream and had a ladder that reaches the heaven. V'hine Malach Elohim, and the angels of Hashem, Oilim v'yordim ba, are going up and down. And all the Meforshim asks a question, that angels are in heaven, they first should go down and then go up. The Daza Kenim Baal Toisves answers that these angels that went up were the angels that were stuck in Sdom. Meaning that when they came to destroy the land of Sdom, the angels, which according to Rashi are the angels Gavriel and Rafael, told Lot in chapter 19, verse number 13, Kimashchisim anachnu es hamokom hazeh, that we are destroying this place. That means that they took the glory, they took the destruction on themselves. Then for a split moment, they caused Lot to think that the angels actually have the power by themselves to destroy the city. The Medrash says that they were punished, that they could not go back in heaven, and they stayed stuck in this earth for 135 years until Yaakov made his prayer here in the place of the Beis HaMikdash, and then the angels were able to hold on, gather right together with Yaakov's prayer, and they were able to go up in heaven. Meaning that according to the Daza Kerim Baal Toisves, the angels Gavriel and Raphael were stuck on this earth until Yaakov actually made the prayer. So we see, and the question begs, how is it possible that angels would make a mistake? But the answer Meforshim gave is that since they came to Sdom, and Sdom was such a corrupt place, then even angels could be corrupted by Sdom. Therefore, we see that the place itself could corrupt a person. Therefore, also, Yaakov was afraid that if he sends regular people to Esav, then those people will be corrupted. Therefore, Yaakov decided to send angels which have less of a chance of being corrupted than people. Let's continue to our parsha. Let's go to the next verse, verse number 5. The verse says, Ve'etzav oisam leimor, that he commanded those messengers or angels, saying, Koi soimru la'adoini le'esav, so you should say to my master, to Esav. Koy Omar avdecho Yaakov, so did your servant Yaakov say, Im Lavon garti, Im Lavon I have lived, vo eichar, and I have delayed, ad oto, until now. We are going to take this verse and we are going to analyze the whole verse. First, we have to understand why is it written so many times the word koy, meaning that the verse says, Vaitzav oisom leimor, he commanded that saying, Koy soimru ladoini leisav, so you should say to my master Esav, Koy omar avdecho Yaakov, so did your servant Yaakov say, Im lavon garti, that im lavon I have lived, vo eichar adota. Why you have to say so many times the word say? The verse should have said like that, Vaitzav oisom leimor, he commanded them saying, Koy omar avdecho Yaakov, so did Yaakov say, Im lavon garti, im lavon I have lived, Bo'echar adot, and I have lived to now. Why is it written, Koy soimru la doini leisav? Another question that we have is, why is Yaakov calling Esav adoin, a master? Technically, Yaakov is annulling or is going against the blessing that his father blessed him. His father blessed him on chapter 27, verse 29, Have a gvir lachecha, that you are going to be the master over your brother, and here Yaakov is calling Esav a master. And besides that, Yitzchak already reinstated the bracha that Yaakov is going to be the master by saying to Esav there that Yaakov is going to be the master over Esav, and all Esav's brother are going to be servants to Yaakov. Then why is Yaakov saying, so you should say to my master, to Esav? In truth, this question is asked by many Meforshim, and the Or HaChaim HaKodesh brings down that Yaakov wanted them to say to Esav that he is calling Esav master, that he is renouncing the bracha in a way so Esav should not be upset that he received the blessing, and that is also the way that the Ramban answers, and the Dazaken in Baal HaTosfos brings that Yaakov Avinu did wrong by calling Esav master. And because Yaakov Avinu called Esav master 8 times in the Parsha, therefore the Dazakenim says that Yaakov Avinu was punished and Esav had 8 kings before there was a king out of Yaakov. Meaning that the descendants of Esav reigned over parts of the world before the descendants of Yaakov reigned. Before there was a king of Israel, there was 8 kings of Esav, and the reason is because Yaakov called Esav master, as the end of the parsha brings down the name of the kings of Esav before there was a king of Israel. So we see from the Dazakenim that Yaakov Avinu behaved improperly when he called Esav a master. But we are going to bring the answer from Sefer Shemiroish, why in fact Yaakov Avinu called Esav a master. Then the verse says, Im lavon garti, im lavon have lived, ve'echar adato, and I became delayed until now. And Rashi brings down that garti is the same letters as taryag, and when he said im lavon garti, he meant to say I lived if lavon, but I kept the taryag mitzvahs, the 630 mitzvahs. And we have to understand why specifically did Yaakov use the language Garti, I have lived. Now we're going to go to the next Pasuk, which is Pasuk number 6. The Pasuk says, Vahi li, and I had to me, Shor v'chamor, a axe and a donkey, Tzon v'eved shivcho, sheep, slave, and slave women, v'eshlecho, and I have sent lahagid ladoini, to tell my master, Limtzo chein beinecho, to find favor in your eyes. We have to understand first, why is it written, Vayehi li, I had to me, which seems to be a past tense verse, meaning that he had axe and donkey and sheep and everything else. He still has it. Why is it written, Vayehi li, and I had to me? If he still has it, it should be written in the present, not in the past tense. And another question that we are going to ask is, why is it written, Shor, a axe, v'chamor, and donkey in the singular? It should be written in the plural because he had many oxen and many donkeys. In truth, Rashi asks this question, and Rashi says that it's normal to call for a lot of oxen, ox, and it's normal to call for a lot of donkeys, donkey. Because when you have a lot of the one species, all you do is enumerate the species and not enumerate the animals. So therefore, you could call for a lot of the oxen, ox. But we are going to try to give a different answer to this question. Then the verse writes down that Yaakov says that I sent to tell my master Limtzo Chein Beinecho to find favor in your eyes. How is it going to find favor in the eyes what Yaakov Avinu said to Esav? What did he say that will find favor in his eyes? In truth, according to the Orachaim that we mentioned, the fact that Yaakov Avinu is becoming subjugated towards Esav, is becoming humbled by Esav and giving Esav so much respect, that in itself is what is going to find favor in the eyes of Esav. That is what Yaakov thinks. But we are going to try to give a different answer. What is the favor that he found? Now we are going to skip a little bit and we are going to see what Yaakov did in order to save himself from Esav. On verse number 8 it's written, Vayiro Yaakov Meoid, Yaakov became very frightened, Vayitzer Loi, and he distressed him, Vayachatz Esoom Asher Itoi, he divided the people that are with him, Vesatzoin, and the sheep, Vesabokor, and the cattle, Vagmalim, and the camels, the Shnei Machanois, to two encampment, Vayoymer, he says, Im yavo Esav ala machne achas veiko, if Esav is going to come on one encampment and kill him, v'hoyo amachne anishor gefleto, it'll be the second encampment for survival, meaning for escape. Meaning that if Esav attacks one encampment, the other one will be able to escape and survive. And different mefarshim give different reasons why the second encampment is going to survive. Maybe both encampments are going to be killed. The Sefon explains that since the first encampment is going to see the war, then automatically they'll take that chance while Yaakov is busy fighting with Esav to run away. And then the Rashbam explains that it's going to put so much distance between them that it's impossible to attack both encampments. True, that they'll be able to maybe attack later, but he won't be able to attack both encampments. And Rashi explains that for sure they're going to escape because Yaakov is going to fight against Esav in the first encampment. And the question begs, maybe Yaakov will lose and Esav is going to go attack the next encampment. Therefore, the Chanukah Satoira and the Nachal Kadumim both give the same answer, that since Rivka Imenu prophesied, as it's written, Parshas told us, in chapter 27, verse number 45, where she says, Lamo eshkal gam shneichem yoim echad, why should I lose you both in the same day? Even though there the context of the verse is that she asks Yaakov to run away because she doesn't want to lose them in the same day, but nonetheless, Mefarshim bring this down as a prophecy, that she actually prophesies that Yaakov and Esav are going to die in the same day, and Yaakov understood that. Then Yaakov understood that if he fights Esav and he puts a distance of a day between encampments, then Esav won't be able to attack the other encampment. Because if Yaakov dies, that means that Esav is also going to die that day. Automatically, the other encampment is going to be saved. So Yaakov understood the other encampment is going to be saved because Yaakov is going to fight against Esav in this encampment. And eventually, both will die in the same day. So if Yaakov loses, then Esav has to die that day. Automatically, the second encampment is going to be saved. As a side note, the Yaros Dvash asks that technically we see that they both did not die the same day. Because we know that the end of Parshas Vayechi, we have the death of Yaakov. And after the death of Yaakov, in chapter 50, verse number 3, it's written that the doctors embalmed Yaakov for 40 days, because that's a normal embalming time, and then they cried over him for 70 days, and after the days of crying, then Yosef tells Paroi that his father told him to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And then, according to the Midrash, they go to bury him in Eretz Yisrael. Esav comes to block the burial by saying that since Yitzchak left two plots and we are two brothers, then we inherit each one plot. And Yaakov already buried Leah in one of the plots. Then the other plot belongs to Esav. And the brothers tell Esav that he had sold the plot to Yaakov Avinu in exchange for all the money that Yaakov Avinu made in the house of Lavan. And the bill of sale is in Egypt. And Esav disputes that. And they send Naphtali to Egypt to bring the bill of sale. While Naphtali is gone, Hushim ben Dan, who was hard of hearing, did not understand what is going on. Why they not burying Yaakov Avinu? When he finds out, he is upset that Yaakov Avinu is being disrespected. Then Hushim ben Dan takes a sword and chops off the head of Esav. Then the Yaros Dvash asks, we see clearly that Yaakov Avinu died way before Esav. Then the prophecy of the mother, Lomo Eshkal Yom Echot, did not come true. The Yaros Dvash answers that the Medrash there continues and says that when the head of Esav rolled in Maras Machpelo, it landed on Yaakov Avinu's lap, and Yaakov Avinu opened his eye and smiled at him. So you see clearly that Yaakov Avinu was still alive. Then the Yaros Dvash in Chelik Beis Drosh Tes Zayin says that Yaakov Avinu died when they closed the coffin, and that is the same day that Esav dies. Just as an aside, we see at the end that Yaakov Avinu only has one encampment. When Esav comes and meets Yaakov, eventually there is only one encampment. And the Mefarshim write down that after Yaakov's encounter with the angel of Esav, where Yaakov won against the angel of Esav, and then the angel of Esav called him Israel, then Yaakov Avinu was assured that Hashem is going to save him and he won't need to fight. Then Yaakov Avinu made only one encampment. But until then, there was two encampments. But Sefer Shemeroish is going to give a different reason why Yaakov was assured that the second encampment will survive. Sefer Shemeroish starts answering this question by bringing first what is written in Bereshis chapter 27, verse number 42. There, after Yaakov Avinu gets the blessing instead of Esav, and Esav is angry at Yaakov, Rivka tells Yaakov, Hine Esav achicha misnachem lecha l'argecha. Esav, your brother, is consoling himself to kill you. In Rashi, there asks, what does it mean, consoling himself to kill you? Rashi, in his simple interpretation, which is actually Rashi's third interpretation, there is down that misnachem u'al brachos, that he's consoling himself on the brachos, on the blessings, barigascha, by killing you. And the simple interpretation, it means to say that Esav is going to be consoled on the blessings by killing you. Once you are killed, then you'll be consoled on the blessings. And the Mefarshim asks a question, how do you know that he's going to be consoled by killing you? Maybe he will kill you and you still be unconsolable on the blessings. Meaning, he'll kill you, but he can't do anything against the blessings that is going to come to you and your children. Then what does Rivka mean to say that he'll be consoled by killing you? Therefore, Toras Moshe in Parshas Toldos brings down that Esav knew for sure that his father's blessings have to come true. And he knew for sure that he's going to be subjugated under Yaakov, meaning that he's going to be a slave to Yaakov. And there is no escape from that, because since the Tzaddik Yitzchak gave such a blessing, there is no escape from that blessing. But Esav thought that if Yitzchak dies and Yaakov still doesn't have a wife and children, then Esav will kill Yaakov, and automatically by Esav killing Yaakov, Yaakov will have no inheritors. Then Esav is going to have the law of a proselyte who dies without children. Whoever first comes inherits his property, then Esav will inherit the property of Yaakov, which is himself and all the wealth that Yaakov has. Therefore, Esav says that Yikrevu Yemei Evel Avi let the days of mourning of my father come close, meaning come soon, like that I will kill Yaakov and automatically I'll be free. Which the meaning now of the verse means to say that Esav is consoling himself that he is going to be able to get the blessing by killing you. By killing you, without you having children, then Esav will be able to get the blessing. Therefore, Rivka says to Yaakov, go to my brother Lavan and marry there and get inheritors. Like that, automatically, Esav won't be able to get away with killing you because you will have inheritors. And true, Yaakov married and he had other children. But Yaakov was afraid that if he comes home now with his children, Esav is so blatant that he could kill Yaakov and his children. Therefore, Yaakov didn't go back yet until he had Yosef. Because once Yosef was born, the nemesis of Esav was born, then Yaakov was assured that Esav won't be able to kill the children. Automatically, if Esav can't kill the children, Esav doesn't gain anything by killing Yaakov, because Yaakov always is going to... Sefer Shemesh continues and says that if you analyze the bracha, the blessing that Yitzchak gave to Esav, you'll find something very interesting. Originally, when Esav comes to ask him for a bracha, Yitzchak says that I already made your brother a master over you. And automatically, if I made it over you, I can't give you anything because whatever you acquire, the master acquires. And then Esav starts crying. And then Yitzchak tells Esav, Hine mishmane oretz iye meshovecha, that you'll have your dwelling from the fat of the land, umitala shomayim me'al, and from the dew from heaven. And the question is that Yitzchak should have started by saying, that he gave him a blessing and said, Mishmane oretz iye meshovecha, that you'll have your fat of the land as your dwelling. Why does it say, Hine, behold? And another question that we have in regards to the blessing that Esav gets, because first Yitzchak says that I can't give you a blessing, and then he gives him a blessing. What is going on? Therefore, the son of the Rosh explains that in truth, Yitzchak never gave Esav a blessing. Yitzchak just stated to Esav what the halacha is. Yitzchak thought that Esav behaves properly, and if Esav behaves properly, then he'll be a servant to Yaakov, but he'll have the law of an Eved Ivri, of a Jewish slave. And in regards to a Jewish slave, it is written in the verse in Devarim chapter 15, verse number 16, Ki toiv lo imach, that is going to be with you, good with you, meaning that you have to behave in a good way towards your slave. And the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis 21b writes down, Imach b'machol, imach b'mishta, that will be good with you in the food and be good with you in the drink. Meaning that you should not eat clean bread, fine bread, and he'll eat rough bread, bad bread. You should not drink old wine, and he'll drink young wine. You should not lay down on top of blankets, and he'll lay down on top of straw. And whatever you have, you require to share that with your slave. You can't make him feel inferior. Therefore, when Yitzchak says that I'm giving you from the fat of the land and the dew of the heaven, Yitzchak was saying that since Yaakov gets that, and Yaakov is your master, then automatically you will get the same thing. You'll get the fat of the land and you'll get the dew of heaven. But not that you are going to get a separate blessing from Yaakov. You are going to be part of Yaakov's blessing because you are a Eved Ivri, you are a Jewish slave, and a Jewish slave gets what the master has. This is how the son of the Rosh interprets that verse. But then Sefer Shemeroish adds that based on this, since the Gemara there says, Mikan Amru, from here we say, Kol HaKoyne Eved Ivri, Ke Koyne Adon LaAtzmo, that whoever acquires a Jewish slave is tantamount of him acquiring a master for himself. And Tosfos there explains, why is that so? Meaning, how does the Gemara come to the conclusion that whoever acquires a slave is as he acquires a master? He is like the master, but not that he's better than the master, meaning that the master has to share things with the slave, but not that he has to give more things to the slave. Then why is the slave called a master? Tosfos answers based on the Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi says that if the master only has one pillow, he's required to give that pillow for the slave. And Yerushalmi explains it in the following way. First, we understand that if he has one pillow, he cannot use the pillow, because he cannot use a pillow and the slave not have a pillow. Because the Torah says, Ki toiv lo imach, that the slave has to be good with you in the same way that you have. If there's only one pillow, you cannot have it and the slave have it. But yet, we tell you that you have to give this pillow to the slave. Why? Because since there is a rule that koifin al midas dom, we could force somebody not to act like dumb. And in dumb, when somebody had benefit and the other one didn't lose anything, Sdom did not allow the person to have benefit. And here, since the slave could have benefit from the pillow and the owner can't, and yet the owner doesn't lose anything by having the slave having benefit from the pillow, that means that the slave gets the pillow and the owner does not have the pillow. That means that whenever the owner has only one item, that item has to go to the slave. If he has two items, then you share one item for the owner and one item for the slave. But if he has only one item, that item has to go to the slave. Based on that comes out that the slave becomes the master. That's what the Gemara says, that whoever acquires a slave is tantamount of him acquiring a master. Based on that, Sefer Shemeroish says that this is what it's meant by the verse. Veishlach Yaakov Malochim, Yaakov sent messengers, Lefonov, El Esav Ochiv, to Esav, his brother. Why his brother? To let him know that he holds Esav as his brother in mitzvahs, that he holds Esav as a Eved Ivri. Therefore he says, Koy soimru la doinil Esav, tell to my master Esav, that Esav is really the master. Meaning, Yaakov is not denying that Brocha, that Yitzchak made him a master over Esav, but since when you acquire a Jewish slave, it's tantamount as you acquire the master, therefore he called Esav a master. And he told them that you should know that I had Shoir, a singular axe, and a Hamor, and a singular donkey. And the rule is that if I only have a singular axe, a singular donkey, I'm required to give the axe and the donkey for you to use. Meaning, because since the owner can't use if the slave doesn't use, then he's required to give to the slave to use. That means that the slave is really the master. And that's why he said that you are Adoni, my master. And technically, you are now better off than it would have been the other way around. Because if it would have been the other way around, I would get the axe and I would get the donkey. But now that you are the slave and I'm the master, and when I have only one thing, then you become technically the master, then you should not be angry at the brachas, at the blessing that I got, because now you're better off. Because whatever I have, you get to share. And not only you get to share, you get even more than I have. So therefore, Yaakov was calling Esav a master to let him know that by getting the blessing, Esav technically became the master. And the proof is that Vahili short v'chamor, that if I have one axe and one donkey, I'm required to give to you. Then Esav is in a better situation than before. Then Esav has nothing to complain. And therefore, Yaakov said this statement, Limtzochein beinecha, to find grace in the eyes of Esav. Because if Esav is going to analyze, he's going to see that he's better off now that Yaakov got the blessing than he would have gotten the blessing. Sefer Shemeroish now says that Yaakov also had something else in mind when he told Esav. And he says that the Chasam Sofer in Parshas Toldos asks a question, how is it possible that Yitzchak wasn't going to give any blessings to Yaakov? That he only calls Esav to give a blessing and he doesn't give a blessing to Yaakov. Surely he knows that Yaakov is Ishtam Yoishev Olim, that Yaakov learns Torah the whole day. Then how is it possible that he won't give a blessing to Yaakov? Therefore, the Chasam Sofer says that in the same way that we don't find that Avraham Avinu gave a blessing to Yitzchak, because automatically the blessing that Hashem gave to Avraham automatically will go to Yitzchak. Therefore, Yitzchak knew that the blessing of Avraham Avinu will go automatically to Yaakov. Because Yitzchak knew that Esav doesn't behave in the proper way, and Yaakov behaves much better, and Yitzchak knew that Yaakov is going to be the person who is going to fulfill his place and the place of Avraham Avinu, and automatically the blessings that come from Avraham Avinu will go to Yaakov, and you don't need to add any blessings to that blessing, in the same way that Avraham Avinu didn't have any blessing to Yitzchak. But in the same way that Hashem told Avraham Avinu, Ki be Yitzchak ikore lechazara, that Yitzchak is going to be your child, and yet Avraham Avinu saw fit that he should give a blessing to Ishmael, because he says there in Bereshit chapter 17, verse number 18, Lu Yishmael yichye lefonecha, I want Ishmael to live in front of you. And Hashem gave a blessing to Ishmael because of what Avraham Avinu said. In the same way, Yitzchak wanted to give a blessing to Esav, that Esav should also get a blessing, even though he's not going to be the one to fulfill the place of Avraham Avinu. That only Yaakov is going to fulfill the place of Avraham Avinu, and is going to have the default blessing of Avraham, but he wanted to give extra blessing to Yitzchak. But Rivka understood what an evil person Esav was, and Rivka knew that Esav doesn't even deserve that blessing. Therefore, Rivka wanted that Yaakov Avinu should get that blessing, and clearly Hashem agreed to that idea, because Hashem made it that Yaakov Avinu should get that blessing. This is what the Chasam Sofer brings in the end of Parshas Toldos. According to this, Sefer Shemei Rosh says that Yaakov wanted to hint to Esav that the blessings of his father did not take effect yet. Meaning true that he has this wealth. But this wealth doesn't come from the blessing of the father, Yitzchak. It comes from the blessing of Avraham Avinu. Therefore, Yaakov first tells the angels to tell Esav, Im Lavon Garti, that I have sojourned with Lavon. Meaning, that since in the part of the blessings of Avraham Avinu is conditional with the Bris Ben Absorim, if the covenant between the parts, and the covenant between the parts, it's written in Bereshis chapter 16, verse number 13, Vayomel Avram, Hashem told Avram, Yodea Teda, you should surely know, Ki Geir Yezaracho, the strangers will be your children, Be'eretz Loilahem, in a land that's not theirs. Meaning that in order for you to get the blessings of Avraham Avinu, you have to fulfill the contractual obligation that you are going to be strangers in the land. And therefore, Yaakov tells Esav, Im Lavon Garti, with Lavon, I have sojourned. I'm the one who is paying the debt that it was to Avraham Avinu. Therefore, since I'm paying the debt from Avraham Avinu, then automatically the blessings of Avraham Avinu are coming to me. So therefore, Vayhili Shor V'chamor, I already have this axe and donkey in the past tense, meaning that this didn't come from the blessings that Yitzchak, our father, gave us. This came from the blessings of Avraham Avinu. Therefore, I already had this wealth. And the proof is, because Im Lavon Garti, that I'm the one who has sojourned, who has left the house, and has to be stranger in a strange land. You stayed home. You didn't have to go anywhere. So therefore, that means that I'm the one that's fulfilling the place from Avraham Avinu, because I'm the one who is paying the debt. Therefore, you don't have to be angry at me for getting the blessings of our father Yitzchak, because those blessings didn't come true yet. All I have now is from the blessings of Avraham Avinu, because I'm fulfilling the contractual obligations that Avraham Avinu had, that in order to get the wealth, he has to first sojourn in the land. Therefore, Yaakov tells Esav that you don't have to hate me for the blessings, and therefore I'm telling you, Limtzochein Beinecho, should find grace in your eyes, that you'll understand that this that I have comes from the blessings of Avraham and not the blessings of Yitzchak. According to this idea that Yaakov Avinu knew that he has the blessing of Avraham Avinu, because Hashem told Avraham Avinu, Ki be Yitzchak ikore lechazara, that in Yitzchak is going to be called in you a child, and Yaakov Avinu took on him the responsibility that he is going to be that child, because he went to Lavon and he said, Im Lavon Garti, with Lavon I have sojourned, and he's paying the debt of being a sojourner that it was in the Brisbane of Sorim. According to this, Sefer Shemeroish wants to say, now we understand why Yaakov is assured that the Machne Ishor, the second encampment, is going to survive. Meaning that since we have an assurance that the children of Avraham Avinu will not cease, and the children of Avinu have to follow through Yaakov Avinu, then Yaakov Avinu knew that if he divides the encampment in two, the worst it could happen is that one of them will die, but the second one have to survive, because Hashem made the promise to Avraham Avinu, and Hashem keeps his promises. Therefore, Yaakov knew that the second encampment will survive. Then Sefer Shemeroj brings the Panim Yafes, where the Panim Yafes brings down that when it says Koy Soimri Ladon Leisav, Koy Oimar Avdecho Yaakov, that Yaakov Avinu is stressing the language Koy, because the Gemara in Soita Daf Lamed Ches Omed Aleph 38a writes down that it's written by the Parshas Noso in Bamidbar, chapter 6, verse number 23, Koy Sevorchu as Bnei Israel, so you should bless the Jewish people. And there the Gemara says that Koy means exactly these words, which means Beloshna Koydish, that you have to use Loshna Koydish. And the Gemara says there also that every time it says the word Koy, so, it means in Loshna Koydish. So therefore, Yaakov Avinu wanted to stress to Esav that the reason that he gets away from Golus, the reason he's able to come back home, is because Koy Soimru le Adoni le Esav. So you should say to my master Esav that I use the language Koy, I use Loshon Koydish, and I didn't want to change my language, even though im Lavon Garti, even though I sojourned with Lavon, nonetheless, I used Koy, I used Lashon Koydish. As a matter of fact, we see in chapter 31, verse number 47, that Lavan tried to get Yaakov to keep Lashon Arami, not to speak Lashon Koydish, because in the Mikta pact over that pile of stones, there it's written, Vayikro Eloi Lavan, Lavan called it Yegar Sadusa, in Aramaic, that this pile should be a witness, but the Yaakov Koroloi, Gal 8, Yaakov called it in Hebrew, that this gal, this pile should be 8, should be a witness. So according to this, Yaakov wanted to tell Esav that don't think that I sojourned with Lavan and I spoke Aramaic. Therefore he starts everything by saying, Koy Soimru, exactly this language in Loshon Koydish, you should say to my master Esav, Koy Omar Yaakov, that Yaakov only spoke Loshon Koydish and he did not speak Lashon Arami. And therefore he merited to be able to get out of the influence of Lavan. As an aside, Sefer Chanukah Zatoira faults Yaakov for bringing the language of Lashon Arami into the Torah, and he brings a message that says that this is the reason why we ended up going to Egypt. And the Medrash translates what's written in Parshas Kisavoy in Devarim, chapter 26, verse number 5, where we make the declaration of the Bikurim, that it says, Ve'oniso, Ve'omarto, you should raise your voice and say, Lifnei Hashem Lo'ikecho, in front of Hashem your God, Arami Oivet Ovi, that normally translated as Aramean, love on Arami caused my father to be lost, by Yerit Mitzrayim, and that caused them to go down to Egypt, but he translates Arami, the language Arami, Oivet Ovi, that caused my father to be lost. And because of that, Vayered Mitzrayim and went down to Egypt. And with that also, Sefer Chanukah Satoira brings what is written in Parshas Vayeshev, where there the brothers sell Yosef. And after the sale of Yosef, it's written in chapter 37, verse number 25, Vayeshvu lecho lechem, they sat down to eat bread, Vayisvei neyem, and they raised their eyes, Vayiru, and they saw, Vayina, and behold, Orchaz Ishmoelim, Bo Megilot, a caravan of Ishmoelim are coming from Gilad, and the camels are carrying perfume. They're going to come down to Egypt. The question is, I understand that it's important to say where they are going, but why is it important to say that it's coming from Gilad? Therefore, Sefer Chanukah Satoira says that you know why they're going down to Egypt, because the Ark of Ishmoel is coming Megilad, because Yaakov called it Galed, and Lavan called it Yegar Sadusa. Because of that, the caravan is going to Egypt. Sefer Shemeroish adds to this idea, and he says that according to the Torah Moshe in Parshas Vayetze, Yaakov Avinu was supposed to live 180 years, the same age of Yitzchak Avinu. But Yaakov Avinu in the end only lived 147 years. That means it was missing from Yaakov Avinu's life 33 years. 33 is the numerical value of Gal. Gimel is 3 and Lamed is 30. And Gal is also the pile of stones, which means that Yaakov Avinu lost his life because of the pile of stones. Exactly the numerical value of the pile of stones Yaakov Avinu lost, because Yaakov Avinu caused Aramaic to be written in the Torah, because Lavan called it Yegar Sadusa, and Yaakov called it Gal 8. But nonetheless, he caused Aramaic to be written in the Torah, and because of that, he lost Gal of his life. Because of the Gal, he lost part of his life, and therefore, he lived only to be 147 years. And Sefer Shemen Rosh explains that the idea of speaking Lashon Kodesh is the idea not to assimilate with the nations around us. Like that, we'll be able to keep our purity, and we'll be able to keep our sanctity, we'll be able to keep our identity, and like that, we'll merit to have Mashiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mheira b'yomeinu, amen.